Many Catholics and non-Catholics alike remember former Milwaukee Archbishop Rembert Weakland for his sometimes controversial views on issues facing the church and society, and he's also remembered for his transgressions. In 2002, we learned he paid off a male lover to keep quiet about their relationship, and we found out he also moved sexually abusive priests to other parishes. But our guest this hour says it is time to reassess Rembert Weakland. He says he should be forgiven, and Milwaukee should seek his guidance on social issues, some of the same social issues that Pope Francis is addressing today. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 5th. We'll talk with the author of a recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Weakland, and we'll wonder if you agree with him or not, or what questions you have. Should Rembert Weakland be forgiven? Should his counsel be sought on social issues of the day? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Todd Robert Murphy. He has over 35 years of experience in public relations, public affairs, and public policy counseling. He writes a syndicated column, Murph Speak, and he recently wrote the opinion piece that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Weakland. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what motivated you to write the piece?
Actually, the Journal Sentinel asked me to write the piece, and initially I said no, and then we had further discussions, and it centered on how much copy they would allow me. As you know, they budget a number of column inches for any newspaper column or any news story. And David Haynes, the editorial page editor, said, write it and let's take a look at it, and wrote back and said, I love it. And the only thing they changed was the title.
Interesting. What was your title?
A Thoroughbred in the Stable.
Why did you call it that?
Well, because he is a thoroughbred. He, you know, it was metaphorical. We have someone with a vast amount of experience, an enormous intellect, and hands-on knowledge of a myriad of issues that affect American Catholics and Americans on a daily basis. So my thesis really was, is we have this talent here, and we're not accessing him or his opinions or his counsel.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, about that. I mean, one of our Facebook commenters right away writes, Weakland is the reason why the Archdiocese is bankrupt, both financially and morally. Very passionately.
Well, let's separate the issues. Certainly, the Milwaukee Archdiocese is dealing with the same issue archdioceses throughout the country are dealing with, and that is the issue of pedophile priests. And you know, to deny that that's a fact is foolish. It is a sad chapter in Catholicism and in the Catholic Church, not only in this country but all over the world. Morally bankrupt, I would take great issue with that. I don't think the church is morally bankrupt at all. If anything, they've righted the ship in many ways as a result of this controversy, issue, tragedy, however you want to describe it. Catholicism, listen, I tell people very, very simply, I was raised in a very Orthodox Catholic family. I call myself a good enough Catholic. I had a brother who 2 years older than me who died unexpectedly on May 22nd, and was probably the most devout Catholic in our family, and he walked away from the church and started walking back because I wrote him in a letter this past Christmas one line. I said that the the church isn't perfect, but the faith isn't. And true Catholics understand that. And we've always had problems throughout the centuries, but we've come back to the faith. And unlike a lot of religions, we don't evolve over time. In Catholicism, religion is revealed. We claim to be designed in the mind of God, and that's the faith. There are issues, and that's why the church doesn't change rapidly. I mean, it's why the church won't ever say abortion is okay, and anybody who anticipates that is wrong. Now, you may have a view on that issue that's contrary to church teaching, and in an enlightened priest or archbishop, as in Weakland said, it's possible to reconcile your pro-choice opinions and still be a good Catholic. Well, that caused a lot of controversy. But if you're open-minded and you understand that simple phrase he made in the context of the totality of the issue, you understand how that's possible.
Yeah. Well, this Facebook writer also goes on to say that Weakland should be in jail for using church funds to pay off his boyfriend. Tell us about
Well, first of all, that's a canard. And it was one of those brief sections of the column that I excluded, and that if I have any remorse, it's over that issue, over the money he paid his lover. It was $450,000. He was under the mistaken impression that throughout his career in Milwaukee that, as a result of fees, honorarium, that he had more than sufficiently fattened the coffers of the church to be able to write a check for $450,000. After the fact, an audit was done, and it was about $200,000 that he had made. So he was off substantially. But then again, he's a priest. They're not known for their ability to manage personal finances or money. They rely on parishioners. In that particular case, he did. A group of members in the archdiocese raised the other $250,000 and more, and the church has been repaid. So there's no theft. There was no there was an inadvertent misappropriation temporarily of funds, and the money's been repaid. And the money's been repaid and then some. So that's that. That I've heard that since the article. It's just not true.
Yeah.
The money's back. So to call that a theft or a conscious act of thievery is again that's a phrase that haters like to use. And there are some, Archbishop Weakland has emerged certainly since 2002 as a polarizing figure because of the issues of his personal behavior. But I found in my letter response, which was substantial, by the way, I think the second most mail that I've received, and I get a lot of mail, was a column I wrote on Bud Selig.
what did the respondents, how did they react to your calling?
I'm still getting mail. I got a letter as recently as yesterday morning. It's tapering off, but I would say I got about in the neighborhood of 85, 83 letters, another half a dozen handwritten letters. Out of that, perhaps 8, maybe as many as 10, were very critical of the Archbishop. And then you get some so-so columns. I got a letter from one of the members of the 575, as they're referred to, and they're members of SNAP, which is the network against that are suing the church because they were molested by Catholic priests in their childhood, and even he was forgiving, and he was a victim. There were letters, Joy, that actually brought tears to my eyes. I didn't expect this kind of response. I think the Journal Sentinel did. And I talked to David Haynes just last week about, all right, you know, the letters have pretty much are trickling in now, but we have the bulk of them. And he even said that of the 25 to 30 letters signed, and that's an important distinction, the majority of them supported my thesis. So the Journal Sentinel obviously tries to reprint letters and present all sides of the issue. But the majority of their letters supported my thesis, and the majority of my letters supported my thesis, that it's time to move on. And I write in my column that if you're Catholic with a capital C and you cut through all of the chafe, all of the BS, all of the Vatican politics, being Catholic is about forgiveness. It's really that simple of a concept. And this is a difficult one to forgive, even for me. But I think he has great value to this community. We just talked in your news story about the gap between black and white deaths growing. Mm-hmm. These are the types of issues that historically, when the archbishop was the head of the diocese, would address. And frankly, to the chagrin of many practicing Catholics who thought it wasn't his place to address those issues and issues of this sort. And I'm not among those people. I want my archbishop, the head of the church, to address very compelling issues, very compelling social issues that plague society on a different on a daily basis. And I wrote that. You know, the American Catholic Church is vastly different than the church in France, Europe, Germany, Italy, what have you. When I was in Israel, a friend of mine who's an Orthodox Jew, one of my closest friends, said to me, "Murph, there's a big difference between an American Jew and an Israeli. There's a big difference between an American Catholic and Catholics from all over the world. That doesn't mean we don't have a common bond and share the faith." And that balance is a balance that Rembert tried to achieve, and at times went head-to-head with the Vatican.
We need to take a short break. And when we return, we will take more of your calls. We'll take your questions and your views. Do you think that former Milwaukee Archbishop Rembert Weakland should be forgiven for his sins? And should the community be seeking his counsel on societal issues of the day? We are talking with a guest columnist who says yes. Todd Robert Murphy is with us. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Todd Robert Murphy about his recent opinion piece that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Weakland. And in it, he says that former Archbishop Rembert Weakland should be forgiven for his transgressions. And he says the community should be seeking his counsel on many issues of the day, social and economic justice issues and other issues. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get to calls in just a moment, but you mentioned in the piece, Todd Robert Murphy, that Milwaukee has blundered by not turning to Weakland for advice since he left the church in 2002. What do you mean by that? Talk about that some
more. Well, there's almost a malaise, if you will, in the Milwaukee community. I've lived here most of my life. I mean, I've lived in New York for a period of time. This city, in my opinion, was much more vibrant and a decade ago, and I think there are so many issues and on a micro level, just like this country, it's become so polarized that maybe a calm, knowledgeable, someone with the breadth and depth of experience of the Archbishop might be warranted. I'm not suggesting we elect him the mayor of the city of Milwaukee or the county executive. As I said, he's polarizing, but maybe less so than Scott Walker at this point, and certainly has, in my opinion, the more breadth and depth of experience than Mary Burke. So maybe he should run for governor. I don't know, but
that's another program.
The fact is that you have a resource here that lives here, and we've sort of imposed as a community. In an amorphous group, have sort of imposed him, some sort of exile on him. And some would argue that it was self-imposed by him. I don't think that's really the case. I think he would welcome an outreach. And I think we just need to think about that. There are issues he did address in the past, and that were very important to the community, and that voice is no longer present, and we should maybe give that some serious consideration.
Let's take a caller who's been waiting, Andrew in Milwaukee. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Hi,
Andrew. I just had a quick comment here. I think there's a big difference between forgiveness and recognition that someone is a good leader. I think Archbishop Weakland, just like everyone else, should be forgiven for past sins. But I think it would be foolish to laud him as a good leader. I know that if I had donated money for a speaking engagement and it was going to be used to pay for someone's sex, I would never have donated the money. Whether or not it was a parish donation or a personal donation, I don't think that $200,000 justifies. Maybe a second comment to he failed in moral leadership, and I think that's clear. But I think he also failed in financial leadership, practical leadership. I mean, the archdiocese is in bankruptcy. I know that people will disagree as to the causes, but a major cause is the rearrangement of priests, and that you just can't deny that. And I know that they'll say, well, he listened to the lawyers, he listened to the psychologists. Well, maybe he listened to the wrong lawyers. Lawyers have not been known as the most trustworthy of people, and they're not every bishop, you know, listen to psychologists and move priests around in those situations.
All right, Todd Robert Murphy.
I think actually the standard of behavior was pretty clear that just about every bishop and prelate of the church did in fact listen to therapists when they were confronted with those types of issues. And the second point is that and you made a number of them. Second point is that the church hierarchy in this country was under strict orders, and there's a Vatican letter that's been revealed that most people can find online, I believe, that pretty much instructed bishops, archbishops, cardinals throughout the country to keep their mouth shut, that there would be a consequence for talking about this very sorry issue. And so it was a top-down directive. He followed the dictates of Rome, as did everybody else. And I don't know in that particular instance any of us would have done anything differently. He has now said he would have done a lot differently. And of course, hindsight's 20/20. But nonetheless, his contrition was clear. His mea culpa was very clear, and he has tremendous remorse. There was one particular pedophile priest, that he was worked so aggressively to get out of the priesthood and have defrocked, and the Vatican just sat on his appeals for an extended period of time to the point where when they finally addressed it, the priest was dead. And he found his actions to be very heinous. So it wasn't as though he was one of those people who, again, followed the dictates of the Vatican. When he admitted that he was gay, he talked to a prince of the church in Washington, D.C., and the response was, of course, you're going to deny that. And he said, I can't deny what I am.
Let me jump in because we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up, and then we will continue our conversation with Todd Robert Murphy, who is the writer of a syndicated column, Murph Speak, and he recently wrote an opinion piece that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Weakland. In it, he says that Rembert Weakland's sins should be forgiven and that the Milwaukee community should be seeking his counsel on societal issues of the day. The issues that Weakland took it upon himself more than 25 years ago to address, such as issues such as abortion, social and economic justice, sex education, homosexuality. We wonder what you think. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Former Milwaukee Archbishop Rembert Weakland championed social and economic justice, among other issues, before leaving the church in 2002. We are talking with a guest this hour who says leaders in Milwaukee have blundered by not seeking his counsel on societal issues facing the city. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Todd Robert Murphy, who wrote a recent opinion piece that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Weakland. Do you think that former Milwaukee Archbishop Rembert Weakland should be forgiven for his sins? Do you think the community should seek his counsel on social issues of the day? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I heard from a couple of listeners who were not so forgiving in our first half hour. Let's start off our second half hour with a listener with a different perspective. Joan in Milwaukee, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I believe that we have to forgive. Archbishop Weakland is a very frail, humble, and honest human being, like the rest of us, who has admitted mistakes. He is asking for forgiveness. He has so much to give. He did not commit any abuse. He did fall in love due to loneliness, and he came to terms with his homosexuality. He made mistakes and should be forgiven. We should seek his counsel. I remember listening to his homilies on Sunday mornings. They were absolutely outstanding on economic and social issues. He was a real leader, a proponent of Vatican II. People should read his book, A Pilgrim in a Pilgrim Church. It is outstanding. And he did seek help from Rome. And with regard to the abuse issues, and tried to have some priests removed. And Rome sat on things, just refused to act. He also had listening sessions at the Cousin Center and on controversial issues like contraception. And he also hosted a dinner for former priests who had left the priesthood. My husband was a former priest and his brothers. We attended that. Now, he gave up all hope of advancement in the church. He traded his ambitions to rise in the church in favor of justice and listening to those people that he needed to understand. Priests had served and that left without a word of thanks. Listen to their story. He was an absolutely outstanding proponent of Vatican II. And people should read his book, A Pilgrim in a Pilgrim Church.
And would you agree with that, Todd Robert Murphy?
Well, it's an excellent book. My mother attends Mass every day. In fact, she's probably at Mass right now. She was very angry in 2002 with the revelations that Archbishop Weakland made. She of course forgave him, but she read A Pilgrim in a Pilgrim's Church and to this day will tell me, and in fact gave me the book, that it was one of the best books she's ever read, that he was a fascinating, smart, worldly, opinionated, but practically opinionated. It really changed her perspective of the Archbishop dramatically when the book came out in 2009. And she gave it to me and said, "T.R., you ought to read this," and I did. And I'm a member of St. John, the Evangelist Church, the Cathedral Church, and have been since I think 1980. I was very involved in the renovation of the church. Some people disagree with how the church was renovated. I think the church looks fantastic, and particularly the exterior of the church. I mean, it had 150 years of industrial soot hanging on the Cream City brick, and that was all cleaned and scrubbed. It's really a beacon, and has become a beacon in the Cathedral Park area. You're right. He did reach out, and he consistently did things that were aberrant or unusual in archdioceses and parishes throughout the country by reaching out to people. And it's a great book. It really is. You can't walk away reading that book and think to yourself, boy, this is a guy who still has a lot to offer, not only the Milwaukee community but all communities.
Yeah. And do you know if he wants to offer that counsel and guidance?
He's 87 years old. Some people misconstrue the opinion piece. They think I was paid by the Archdiocese to write it. I spent quite a bit of my life on not as a writer for publication, but as a sort of a hired gun as a public relations, public affairs counselor. So they accused me of being bought and paid. He had no idea this article was going to be. He read it on Sunday morning just like everybody else did. Yeah. I, of course, knew him because I was and still am a member of the parish. We on occasion socialized together, but he's not my best friend. I mean, he receives my newspaper columns through the e-blast. And will once in a while weigh in with a comment. Social justice, Catholic social justice, you don't have to embrace it in its totality, but you have to be cognizant of it. And in my opinion, if you regard yourself as anything as a Catholic. And one of the interesting things I found, some of the comments were people who've fallen away or walked away from the church. If you ask them what their religion is, even if they're non-practicing Catholics, they'll always say Catholic. I found that very interesting. That I can talk to somebody who hasn't been to Mass in 10 years and say, "Well, what religion are you?" "Well, I'm Catholic." Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. I've said to people who disagree with my column, that's fine. And a lot of those disagreements are based on issues that affect women. And I've said to them, walking away from the church doesn't help the debate. If you have an opinion and you have an expression and you have a belief, then the only way the church is going to start dealing with issues, particularly issues that seem to be more parochial to American Catholics, is for your participation in the church. And walk away from it. You're walking away from a problem. You're walking away from something that's so inbred in you as a Catholic that you do not only the church a great disservice, you do yourself a disservice. Mm-hmm. And, it's one thing to hold a martini in your hand and stand around a cocktail party and bash the church. It's a whole other thing to participate in the dialogue that's part of the church.
Talk a little bit about in the piece you recognize that Archbishop Weakland was addressing many of the same issues 25 years ago that the current Pope Francis is talking about today, making the point that Wieckland was ahead of his time.
Well, absolutely ahead of his time, and that's and what's interesting is when you look back at it. Archbishop Wieckland's tenure in the church, and you listen to Pope Francis today, or some of his close friends call him Pope Frank, but it's almost a replay of the almost exact words that Archbishop Wieckland was using and expressing. I mean, and the whole concept of, as Pope Francis said, "Who am I to judge?" with regards to homosexuality, you know, a lot of people take issue with that. They have strong opinions about it. I understand that. But, you know, if a person is in a loving, nurturing, and a supportive relationship, then my view is who am I to judge? And there's too much hate in this world.
Oh, John writes on Facebook, Wieckland is an incredible progressive thinker who was ahead of his time and whose adult consensual relationship was unfairly lumped into the sex abuse scandal. Frankly, if the Catholic Church had its head out of its backside on homosexuality and priestly celibacy, he would be in a very different place. I absolutely think it is time to reassess his legacy. One thing I wanted to ask you about that was, John called him a progressive thinker. You write in the piece that Wieckland did not like to be called a liberal or a conservative, for that matter. He didn't like
no
the
question
label.
No question about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he accepted over time the fact that some people, because we tend to want to categorize people in our society, and so because his views, the fact that he was addressing these views that were important to the lives of day-to-day lives of American Catholics, those who found his words and his counsel, and the fact that he was just even raising issues, compelling issues. It was convenient to label him a liberal, so he accepted that over time, and he writes about that in his book. But he viewed himself, I think, more as a pragmatist, and understood that people were walking away from the church. And one of the reasons they're walking away from the church is because the church wasn't addressing these issues. There's no hellfire and brimstone in his words. It's more about, can we talk about this? And there are people, I got a letter yesterday, probably the harshest letter I received on my column. And it really disturbed me. And it was written by a very prominent business executive. And the letter got angrier and angrier and angrier as it progressed till he got to the last paragraph and said, "I have a gay son." Hmm. And the priest at our parish was accused of pedophilia, and I asked my son, who was an altar boy, if he was ever abused by this priest. Well, it seemed to me that he was more angry that his son was gay, yeah, than the issues that plagued the church. His son said no, but I mean the underlining message was this priest could have made my son gay. That's not true, and we've evolved as a society to understand that. If someone, if someone's predilection is to be homosexual, it's not something that is forced upon you. You know it. Every gay person I know knew they were gay at a very young age.
We are again past our break time, so let me remind listeners that we are talking with Todd Robert Murphy. He wrote an opinion piece that appeared recently in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembert Wieckland. In it, he says that it's time to move on. He says it's time to forgive Archbishop Weakland for his sins. It's time, he says, for the community to seek his counsel on social issues of the day. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wondering if you think we should forgive former Milwaukee Archbishop Rembert Weakland, and whether we should be seeking his wisdom, his counsel, his guidance on various social and economic justice issues facing Milwaukee, for that matter, facing the state of Wisconsin today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Kathleen in Beaver Dam. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I would like to make a comment. I did read Mr. Murphy's article, and I thought it was wonderful. I was glad to see something like that in the paper. I did work for a Catholic church in the Milwaukee Archdiocese for about 15 years, and while working there, we did have a case with a lay minister of sexual abuse. And what I was shocked at, what happened, was when it got reported, actually the Archdiocese handled it well. When they were called, they immediately said, call the police, which I thought good. And the reaction of the parishioners rallied around the perpetrator and ostracized pretty much and treated the family that brought it forward very badly. And they ended up leaving the church. They didn't feel welcome there. But there's that part, too, you know, when you try to deal with it, where I don't know what the phenomenon is, but people don't want to hear there's a problem. And it just so shocked me that that happened.
Mm-hmm. You know, your response or reaction to that?
That is shocking. Obviously, to embrace and support a perpetrator of a crime. And, you know, again, we're a country of law, and we presume innocence until charged and adjudicated guilty. But certainly rallying around the lay minister was, in my opinion, an erroneous and a misjudgment by the parishioners. But the other issue you raise is we don't want to talk about it, and that's the transcendent issue. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about people who are in positions of authority who are predators, and it transcends the Catholic Church. It affects all churches, all people who are in positions of authority, positions that we historically revere, who take advantage of their position and involve themselves in sexual molestation. I don't think there's any debate about that being wrong, and the impact it has on the victims of the crime. It's huge.
Yeah. Well, speaking of victims, Annette writes on Facebook, it takes time to heal for those who hurt. Mr. Murphy speaks of haters. The word is incorrect. The word is victims. Someone whose life has been changed forever. Forgiveness doesn't happen on demand. It goes on to say that you must not know what it's like to be hurt by someone in power like Rembert Weakland or like this man. Unless and until we walk a mile in someone else's shoes, we have not the right to judge. Saying that
Well, I don't disagree with her statement. I think that she kind of blends the word victim and hater. When I say hater, I mean people who hate Rembert and his position here. I find is somewhat of a facade, and they're really angry about other issues. The victims of sexual abuse, well, I completely agree with her. And I think we've all been in a position where we have felt isolated and alone and seeking guidance, or we were at a point of personal vulnerability. And I think that that happens throughout our life. So she's incorrect. I've certainly felt that way, Joy. I think you probably have. I mean, we all know what that's like. Now, in that situation, to have someone take advantage of our vulnerability, particularly in a sexual nature, is a heinous crime. And there's no excuse for it, and it should be treated through our legal system in a most aggressive manner. I couldn't agree with her more. But sure, of course, I know what it's like to be alone. I know what it's like to be isolated. And people know what it's like to feel unwanted. People know what it's like to be bullied. I mean, we deal with that right now, finally, after decades of on playgrounds and schools and high schools, and particularly in the internet age where you have social websites and apps where you can write anonymous comments about other people, and the consequences of that hurt. You know, one of the saddest turns in the newspaper industry is the anonymous comments newspapers allow. And if you read the anonymous comments in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this column, and I read about the first 40, and I'm sure there are more. I stopped reading them after that Sunday. I mean, they weren't victims. They were just people who had bigger and broader issues that they disagreed with Rembrandt and Weakland on. Mm. I understand that, and you know, and some of them were so bigoted and thinly veiled that you know you might as well put a white hood on. I dismiss that, and I dismiss anonymous comments. If you have an opinion and you express yourself, in every one of my columns I put my email address on, and I answer every letter that's written to me, and it's one of the reasons I only write biweekly. My publisher would love me to write weekly. I take the time to respond to every letter.
Let me end with our final less than a minute with your last line. Archbishop Emeritus Rembrandt George Weakland still lives in Milwaukee. Maybe we should call him. In just 30 seconds, what do you hope happens? Who should call him?
Well, I think there are so many leaders in this community who could seek his counsel, from mayors to governors to business executives to other parish priests. You know, one parish priest said to me, you know, we don't mention his name when we ask in Mass for the blessing of our archbishop, and we go through a litany. He's still here. He's still alive.
Yeah,
he's
and you know what? Maybe we should give him a call, too, Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think that'd be neat.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Todd Robert Murphy wrote the piece, A Reappraisal of Archbishop Rembrandt Weakland.